am Noel T. Manning II, coming to you from the Gardner Webb University podcast studios at the Elliott House here on the Gardner Webb University campus, Boiling Springs, North Carolina. And welcome to Web Chat. This is a podcast where we explore the community that is Gardner Webb. We do that through the people, through the programs, and through the possibilities. Today, really happy to have back a returning guest and some new faces. Happy to have some folks from the Division of Student Success with us, and I'm going to let each of you introduce yourselves and also your roles at Gardner Webb, and we're going to talk a little bit about some things we can do to help students along, especially during a final stretch. That'll be one aspect that we're definitely going to talk about, and then maybe throughout some other aspects of their life on campus. And we'll start over here to my right.
Yeah, glad to be here. So I'm Ryan Irk, and I serve as the Executive Director in our Division of Student Success. And our division's made up of a number of areas that are, as the name implies, designed to help our students be successful. So happy to be here, happy to talk about some of these factors that can help our students push through to graduation.
Glad to have you back. Glad to have you back.
Hey, I'm Cheryl Potter, and I'm the director of the Noel Center for Disability Resources, and I'm happy to be here.
Wonderful.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Good afternoon. My name is Ben Flournoy. I'm the coordinator of the Learning Resource Center here at Gardner Webb, so I get to work with our amazing student tutors and writing consultants to help other students in their homework or just succeed in general.
And my name is Miranda Coker. I am an academic advisor and student success coach for student athletes.
Wonderful. Well, thank you all for being here. I'm really happy that we can do this. And Ryan, you know, you really had this idea. We've had you on before. And you said, hey, I'd love to come back and do this some more and maybe cover some different topics. And so I appreciate your willingness. And so I guess that means that you enjoyed yourself last time, or at least it wasn't torture. So I guess that's a good thing.
Yeah, it was fun the first time we did this. And I think I kind of see this as like a round two podcast version. I think the first time we came in here, some of our folks in the division, we talked about, you know, how do you succeed in your first year? How do you sort of transition well to college? And we see this as sort of an opportunity of how do you sustain that all the way through to graduation?
For some reason for me, the spring semester seems to move so much faster. I don't know what it is. It just feels like it moves faster in a different way. But we have spring break, and then not far beyond that, you have Easter break, and then it's just, you just let everybody loose, and it is chaos and mayhem, but it's all for a wonderful purpose of being able to see these students who we have really invested in walk across that stage. That's why we are all here, is to help them find success beyond just that classroom, but in life. But we want to see them walk across that stage and receive that degree, and so I'm excited to have you talk a little bit about what we can do to help students as we think about graduation coming up. What are some things we can do to help them prepare for that and kind of go through that process? And I'll let Ryan and Ben both dive in on this topic. And Ben, you want to start and give us some thoughts?
Sure. So the first thing I would say is to go to class. And I know that sounds a little cliche, but there's a lot of research done around students' attendance and their success. Right. I think two researchers, Romero and Lee, in 2007 did a study, and this was with maybe lower grade students, but they found that students who missed 10% of class fell behind their peers over a 4-year process. They were reading 2 levels behind other students and things like that. So it's very important to actually go and be attentive when you're in those settings. Another thing I would say is to take advantage of the resources offered on campus. So one of the big things that I find is students don't want to come to the Learning Resource Center and find tutors, because they're embarrassed, right? There's this stigma that maybe you're falling behind in class, and seeking help shows that you're admitting defeat. And that couldn't be further from the truth. Students who actually raise their hands and show these self-help-seeking behaviors, we see that they do far better in the long term than others who aren't willing to reach out and ask for help. So I'm really excited when a student actually comes to me and says, hey, I'm not sure I'm where I'm at right now or where I should be in classes, but I want to take advantage of the resources we have here to actually find that help and do better. So don't be afraid to come and find me, or sign up through Web Connect to come and meet one of our tutors.
What do you find is the most valuable resource, or the one that's, that the students feel are the most valuable resources for what you offer?
I would say writing consultation. So okay, coming in, maybe submitting a term paper, and they say, hey, I'm just not sure this is where it needs to be, and I've looked at it for 3 weeks now, and I don't know what else I need to add to it. Just being able to come and have a sounding board with another student where they can talk through the paper, maybe see where those gaps are and find help to turn it in, that is huge. And I find that that's just probably the most valuable resource we offer. Yeah, peer leaders traditionally work with our University 111 program. Mm-hmm. So any incoming student is going to have a peer leader or kind of like acting like a mentor to these students to help them walk through a normal year in college. They are a great resource because sometimes first-year students aren't ready to transition to college. They don't know what to expect. So to just be able to go and ask somebody for help is a huge asset to them. If you have a peer leader, I recommend you go talk to them, say, hey, what should I be doing to prepare for finals week? Because that can look a lot different than what the rest of the school year looks like. What should I be doing to have study habits or healthy habits as I prepare for finals? But yeah, take advantage of that resource as well.
Wonderful. Thanks, Ben. Ryan?
Yeah, I would say in terms of the steps to take, you know, in succeeding toward graduation or just getting to know your faculty, getting to know your professors in each of your classes, go into their office hours. There's a lot of research that talks about the value of student-faculty interactions. And good relationships really help students feel like they belong. And when students feel like they belong, they're more inclined to retain to the institution. They're more inclined to persist to graduation. In addition to that, I would say staying connected with your success coach through our Division of Student Success. So every first-year student is paired with a success coach advisor in our office. And even after they transfer to a faculty advisor once they choose a major, they still have that staff member there to support them. And so whether it's they need help with time management or advice or strategies about assignments or even just a pep talk to help them, you know, remember that they can do hard things, our advisors, our success coaches within our division are real valuable to help students get there to the finish line.
What are some of the things that we're able to do as a university and as a Division of Student Success to help students develop these relationships? What are some of the things that we put out there, that we kind of help encourage, that nurture? What are some of the things that you're seeing that we're doing?
Well, I think one of the most helpful things is office hours that faculty members have, right? Okay. I mean, they have all of our professors on campus. They have dedicated time for all of their courses where students can come into their office and ask questions. And that's an opportunistic space where students can come and get to know their faculty members a little bit better, develop some of those relationships. And then later on down the road in a semester, if they have questions or if they're struggling with an assignment, it's easier to approach that professor at that point in time because they've developed some type of relationship. But I think at a campus like Gardner-Webb, kind of a little bit of a smaller, more intimate, relationship-oriented campus, those types of interactions, those types of relationships, they're real valuable, but they're also real easy to make. They're real easy to create. It just sometimes takes that effort on behalf of a student mm-hmm. to go there, to go to that office hour, to say, hey, I'm so-and-so. I'm glad to be in your class, and I look forward to this, and hope we can stay connected.
Yeah, I'm thankful that Gardner-Webb has continued that core aspect of who we are. I'm an alum from a few years ago, and I remember I was talking to Cheryl about this before we went on the air about coming for one of those visitation days and meeting students and meeting professors and feeling like, wow, they're actually listening to me. And then when I got on campus and chose to come here as a student, the friendships, the relationships that I developed with the professors and with staff is pretty amazing. And even years after graduation, I've still looked back to those relationships that were developed and remember them. And for many of them, it carried on well into my career years. And so I think that's something that many students probably aren't thinking about at this point in time is how these relationships will go beyond graduation and help them succeed beyond life, but they will and they can. I had one professor who was the chair of the department when I was a student here who ultimately retired and went into changed careers and went into contracting and basically built homes. And we actually contracted with him to build one of our homes. And the first home that my children remember being in was one that this professor built. And that relationship just continued throughout the years. So I think the relationships are just so valuable. Mm-hmm. And Cheryl, I've seen this, especially with the Noel Center, just the value of students who work with you, and you know, you serve such an amazing body of students with documented disabilities. And we have these opportunities here. Share, if you would, a little bit about the access, about what students are able to receive from the Knowles Center, and maybe the process for getting set up if there are students that or parents that are listening who want to know a little bit more about this and how they can take advantage and maybe why.
Sure. Well, we're very proud of our center. We've been around since 1977, and so we've been through a lot of changes. The ADA has come into effect since we began. It's very easy to get started with our program. You can just go and just type in Knowles Center or Disability Services, and it will pull up our website. You can register just by going to a link called AIM, all capital letters, A-I-M, in Web Connect, and that will take you right to the registration page where you can register with us and upload your documentation, because we do require documentation from a licensed medical provider who will give us information about the particular diagnosis, whatever functional limitations there are, and how we can remove those barriers for the student. So once we have that information and we meet with the student, we're going to talk to them one-on-one about each of their classes, because they may need a certain set of accommodations in English that they don't need in math, or vice versa. Okay. So we look at each individual class to determine the accommodation. And the accommodations vary depending on not only the disability, but how it affects you, because you can have the same diagnosis in three different people and it's manifest differently in each. So some of the typical accommodations are extended time testing or testing in a low distraction environment. We provide interpreters, C-print for deaf and hard of hearing students. We provide alternate formats of textbooks for students that have reading issues, reading challenges. Then the material can be read to them through a software program we have that we can download to the students' computers that's free of charge to them. And also alternate formats for people that might be visually impaired, large print, or blind, we provide Braille or audio. Note-taking is also a big one. And we have now, which we're very excited about, audio note-taking system called Glean, G-L-E-A-N. And it allows a student to record the lecture while inputting notes on their own. It also has little icons in there. So if it's something that the professor's talking about and you think, wow, that's really important, I better remember that, you can go to an icon and it's going to pop up a red exclamation mark right there. There are other ones you can use if there's you're not certain about what was said and you need to review it. There's another little icon mm-hmm. or emoji you can put there. So you don't have to listen to the recording from front to end or hunt and search. You can just go to where you've indexed those particular items. And we recently upgraded the system to where we have the ability, or the student has the ability, to print a transcript of the recording,
wow.
which they found to be very helpful.
Oh, yeah.
So, and it varies, you know, there are room accommodations, housing, meal accommodations. It differs with people according to the disability.
So if someone is out there and they want to know about what types of disabilities, documented disabilities, we could provide resources for, are those listed on the website?
We have some of those listed, okay. but actually it's any documented
okay.
disability. And we get people with chronic illnesses that have maybe syndromes we've never heard about.
Yeah.
So we have to research that.
Yeah.
But really it's a limitless list.
Right. Yeah, and when I think back to the early days when this program started, it was at that point primarily focused on sight and hearing, correct?
Yes, that's correct.
Yeah, and it's been amazing to see that growth mm-hmm. within this program. Wonderful. Thanks, Cheryl. Thanks for sharing that. We talk about the resources. We are a Division I university, so we have a lot of athletes here at Gardner-Webb. I'm not sure of the percentage. And Miranda, you happen to know the percentage? I'm going to put you on the spot. And if you don't, that's fine, too.
Yeah, it's about 40% of students.
Okay. So talk about student-athletes on campus and maybe resources that they would have and some contacts that these students could help, that get access to help them succeed as well.
Yeah, so definitely some contacts here. Like Ryan was saying, everybody has an advisor. I think it's important to go to your advisor, go to your success coach, try to, you know, figure out, am I on track to graduate? What does my expected graduation date look like? You know, we have some students coming in that's like, hey, can we map out kind of like a four-year plan type of thing? What does that look like for me if I wanted to graduate earlier? You know, what does that look like? Could I take some summer classes, stuff like that? And then another important contact I would say is your professor. That's one of the most, I would say, underutilized resources on campus. You know, the professor is the one teaching the material. They would most likely have other material that they could point you to in order to help you with like a concept or a topic that you're just really struggling with. They do all have office hours. I think Ryan also mentioned that, you know, just popping in, taking advantage of those office hours. You know, they're there for a reason. Mm-hmm. They're set. You can just pop in if it's good for you. If not, then email them. But a lot of times we find that students have, when they're emailing with professors, you know, tone and stuff is kind of misunderstood through email rather than like face-to-face. Mm-hmm. You can just be like, oh, this was a simple conversation right. rather than it took days to email back and forth and figure something out. But along with the classes, you know, really read through the syllabus, understand the professor's expectations for the class. But a big thing we would say is just, you know, communicating ahead of time if you are struggling. Let's try to point you to things that can help you before it gets to end of semester and we're kind of like, you know, what can we do here? If we catch it ahead of time when you're first now realizing, I didn't understand that quite as well, come to us and we can try to get you with like a tutor, or if the professor might just need you to come by, that would be better than just being like, oh, I don't know, it's the end of semester, I got to try to just figure this one out, you know.
The student athletes have barriers and obstacles as well for that success, and you're there to help provide those resources. What are some of the misconceptions that may be out there relating to student athletes, or maybe things that maybe student athletes aren't even aware of that's available for them because their time is divided and split? You know, they are more than students. They are the athletes as well, and so they do have that divided time. Ryan or Randa?
Yeah, I think that would come down to their time management skills
okay.
and really being able to balance the OAV practice from like 1 to 2, you know, and then Wednesdays I have games that could take all afternoon. If it's an away game, you got to leave earlier,
right.
sometimes the day before. So it's really like, oh, I have a free time between my 8 a.m. class and my 10 a.m. class. Why don't I take that time to utilize, get ahead of the game, maybe sit down, that 8 a.m. class that just finished, let me go ahead and do that homework during that break. So that way that's crossed off the list and I'm not having to, like, say Saturday night, be like, oh, no, I forgot I had this homework.
Right.
Because nobody wants to do homework after a game because they're getting done, say, like 10 o'clock at night.
Yeah.
You know, coming back, if they're on the road especially, they might forget. You know, they're just tired, trying to go to sleep. So it's really taking advantage of that free time that you have
right.
during the day, trying to get that schoolwork taken care of, and just kind of finding that balancing act.
That's great. That's great.
I think, too, you know, understanding the idea that I need to get help but before I actually need it, mm-hmm. right? If there's a struggle in a class or if a grade is starting to slip and whatnot, by the time, you know, a poor grade or a poor mark on assignment is earned, when we're talking about eligibility issues and being sensitive to those types of things for our student-athletes, we don't want students to get into the place where it's too late, right? And so there's all these resources we're talking about, but they're not they're not just last-ditch efforts to succeed, right? We want students to see some of these offerings, some of these services as, hey, before you feel like you're drowning,
right,
we want you to start to take advantage of these things to sort of keep on track, keep on pace, so that we don't run into downstream eligibility-related type issues.
I appreciate you both sharing that. And one of the things we chatted about a little earlier related to students who have opportunities to step into leadership roles. And I think that's a valuable thing that we have here at Gardner-Webb. Small universities provide that. I was actually just talking to somebody at lunch today just about the incredible value that students who want to find a place to lead or to be in a position to gain experience. Gardner-Webb is set up so perfectly for that, for leadership roles, and no matter what your interests are, you can find that. And I see it every year, and it just continue just to get excited about that, and to see these students stepping into these roles. Sometimes finding that that they are getting these experiences that they never really thought they ever would. They never thought that beyond high school it would happen in a college situation, but they found that it does. So I'd love for each of you to talk about student leaders in your area, maybe some of the opportunities that they've taken that you offer, or maybe some that they have developed and have even come to you and said, hey, I'd like to try this. And you said, well, yeah, let's do it. So I'd love to get you to share about student leaders and how that contributes also to their success as students. And this is open to everyone.
Well, I'll jump in first. Yeah, thanks, Noel. So it's ironic, right? I spoke a little bit about how student tutoring can really benefit students who are seeking help. But I see the exact same thing happen with actually the tutors themselves, right? Many students who are interested in the possibility of coming back to work in our department after having tutoring might at first say, hey, I'm not sure I can do this. I might have done well in the class, but I just don't have the skills necessary to help a student. And we say, that's okay, right? If you come to us and you're willing to work with us to grow, we're going to be able to invest in you and actually teach you skills that you can carry in your own life to be successful, but also to help others, right? So we'll sit down with them and say, let's work on getting together a growth mindset, figuring out better ways to study or things like that too. So if they're interested in being a leader, we always want to keep them, right? Because we feel like our department's a great place for them to grow. The same thing's true for peer leaders, right? So students who have gone through University 111, they've had great mentors. Hey, now we want you to have the opportunity to come back and be able to be a great mentor for somebody else coming in now. So you can show them how the university works. You can be honest about your own struggle. So maybe you didn't have a great first semester and there was a reason for that. Maybe you can help another student who's going through the exact same thing. So those are two great just leadership roles we have within our department that we really encourage students to take advantage of.
I love that. Love that.
Well, in the Noel Center, I think our students have a unique opportunity to work as a student leader. We have Delta Alpha Pi Honor Society for persons with disabilities. It's a national honor society. And we have an opportunity for the students there to take leadership roles. They have the chair and the vice chair and the secretary and the treasurer. And they do projects and events throughout the year that they're able to help design, help plan for, and then carry out. And we also, every year when students come in the fall for orientation, we have an orientation session separate for students, incoming students with disabilities and their parents. And we have students, upperclassmen, that help us with that every year, that are on a panel that speaks to the students, that they kind of present themselves as peer mentors for these students. So there are a lot of opportunities, I think, through the Noel Center. But I also want to stress that it's not limited to activities within the Noel Center. We have students that receive accommodations for us that are leaders in SGA that are involved in other leadership opportunities all across campus. So they're not limited just to the Noel Center. It's open completely across campus, and many, many of our students are leaders in organizations outside. of the Noel Center.
Well, and you also have some students who are not affiliated with the Noel Center that can come in and take notes. You can
right.
So there are leadership mm-hmm. opportunities for those that are on the outside as well, correct?
Right. Exactly.
Yeah.
Exactly.
Okay.
Right.
Yeah, and then I was going to just touch on the, like, clubs and organizations that are also on campus. They all have, you know, president, vice president, secretary-type roles that anybody could step into. But also with athletics, we have an organization that's the Student Athlete Advisory Committee. They're kind of the bridge between, you know, student-athletes and the school, just, you know, trying to connect because there's kind of – I wouldn't say like strong divide, but, you know, a divide of sorts. And so they just kind of help bridge that and kind of get more involved with the school. But those are, I would say, you have to be nominated to be on SAC. And so it's, you know, showing leadership through your team. And then from there, you would get nominated for that.
Okay, great. Thanks, Miranda.
Yeah, I think that in addition to all the leadership opportunities, there's also a lot of student employee positions, whether that's within our sort of various areas, within our departments, within the division. And though those are more employment as opposed to student, you know, strictly student leadership roles, those are also good opportunities to just get involved in what we're doing. Those students very much participate in sort of giving back to the student body through the variety of projects, initiatives, et cetera, that we're doing. I like to think about student leadership as know the way, go the way, show the way,
mm-hmm.
right? And when students come into college, they're learning, right? They're learning about what it means to know the way and going the way. And then as they sort of get into their upper division years, their juniors, maybe mm-hmm. senior year, they're in a place to show the way, right? So they're sort of passing that on. So whether it's a DAP student with the Noel Center or a SAC student athlete or a writing tutor, you know, those are students who are investing in sort of that next generation behind them.
Yeah.
And that's what we love to see, right? It builds a sort of pipeline of leadership, but then also it helps spread out our efforts to the larger student body.
Yeah, love that. Love that. Going back to that first question we talked about as it relates to graduation, which is what we're wanting each student who comes to us to, as I said, you know, get that degree, have that smile on their face, have family and friends celebrating their achievements. Wanted to see if you want to have any other tips that you wanted to share to help students stay on track for graduation, for that moment that really acknowledges why they are here in the first place. And I'll leave this open to everyone.
Yeah,
go ahead.
I was gonna say I'm happy to chip in. With that question, I would say kind of one thing and as a parting thought for our students, regardless of what year they're in, is to get out of their dorm room. And that's not a, you know, critique of our students. It's very easy to leave class and go back to a dorm room. But in doing so, sometimes students tend to isolate themselves a little bit. They look at a phone and they give what I call the perception of connection. Right, so there's this perceived idea that they're being connected, and it's certainly, you know, quiet time to decompress is obviously needed with our students on occasion. But research shows about 40%, this is nationally, 40% of college students today feel lonely, even more than they feel stressed, sad, or angry. And so, you know, our U.S. Surgeon General actually talked about it as an epidemic on college campuses. And I would say at Gardner-Webb, there's tons of things for students to do. There's tons of activities, campus events, opportunities for engagement, you know, on campus and in the community. So I would just encourage students to take advantage of those opportunities, to recognize that this time in college is a time to expand a network, create friends, learn new things, and that can be inhibited by isolating yourself. So I think getting out, sort of getting plugged into the campus community at large is a really important thing as they progress toward graduation.
Yeah, love that. Cheryl?
Well, I think one thing is what Ben referred to earlier, and that they need to know and use the resources. And then to kind of piggyback on what Miranda said, your professor is one of your resources, and it's probably your main resource. But I think also they need to be aware that just to look toward finals every semester in order to reach graduation. You don't wait until a week or two before. I always tell my students, you start preparing for your final exam on the first day of class. And I think they need to get into a routine where, and they need to be aware where they are all the time. And that's staying connected with their disability advisor or their accessibility advisor in the Noel Center. We can meet with the students weekly and go over study skills, time management. We can help them take big projects and break it down into smaller units so it's more manageable for them. But stay in touch with those people. Make sure you know how to use the resources like your degree audit or, you know, so that you can see and check and know what classes you still have to get and where you stand. Right. And just not be afraid to ask for help when you need it.
Yeah, that's exactly what I was going to say, Cheryl. Again, in my profession, I see a lot of data come through year to year on student trends. And one of the big things is that modern students, they don't want to seek help or they don't know how to seek out help. So I would say, don't be afraid to ask, right? If you don't know where to find that information, our whole office is founded on the principle that we are here to make sure you are successful. Don't be afraid to come find us because we literally work for you. That's what Ryan says all the time. We work for you. Come and say, hey, I don't have great time management skills. Can you help me with that? Because, yeah, we can, right? If you have something that you want to see, we are willing to put forward the time, the effort, the money, anything we can do to make sure you are successful in that venture. So come ask us for help.
Yeah, and I guess my last thing is, like, every question's a good question, no matter if you think it is or not, and everybody is here to help you. If they can't help you directly, they can point you to somebody else who can or that they think can. We'll help you figure out something. That's always, I've noticed at Gardner Webb, everybody's willing to help. Everybody's nice. Everybody's there for you.
Wonderful. Thank you all for joining us right here on Web Chat. I want to offer up to the floor one more time any final thoughts or comments of things that we did not touch on that you want to make sure that you share with the audience as it relates to the division or offerings that are provided.
I would just encourage any student that's listening, come see us. Right, as kind of was mentioned a number of times in this conversation, like our job's to help you be successful. And so there's no shame, there's no stigma, right? Like that's literally what we're here for, is to help you get to that finish line of graduation.
So how do they find you?
Well, a lot of our offices are on the third floor of the Tucker Student Center. So that's where you'll find the Learning Resource Center, Student Athlete Academic Services. A lot of our advisors are up there. But then our Noel Center for Disability Resources is over in Frank Nanny Hall. Not to be confused with some of the other Noel on campus, including you, Noel. But yeah, in Frank Nanny Hall, right there on the first floor, if you walk in, you'll be greeted by Crystal, the administrative assistant there. And if you need help, you need assistance, Cheryl and her staff are there ready to get you.
Wonderful. Ryan, Miranda, Cheryl, Ben, thank you all for joining us right here on Web Chat, coming to you from the Gardner Webb University Podcast Studios here in Boiling Springs, North Carolina. The Division of Student Success, our guests today, several of them, not the whole division, but some wonderful representatives, and we appreciate you sharing your thoughts with us and your guidance for our students and even future students as well. Until next time, for Web Chat, I'm Noel T. Manning II, and that is a wrap.